everyone is going to get it. And sometimes you need to consider what they're saying in that feedback, and sometimes you need to ignore it. And most importantly, with marketing, you just have to use discernment. Don't just question things, question people. Don't just take advice from someone and not actually infuse your own personal touch into it.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast, hosted by me, Katya Allison. I bet you're wondering, what have I gotten myself into? I promise it's going to be a good time, and we're going to have great conversation, and there's going to be a little bit of learning along the way. Now, through insightful interviews with top marketers and entrepreneurs, as well as thought leaders, I get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in this vast world of marketing. I'm here to offer engaging and informative discussions to help you stay up to date on the latest trends and take your marketing skills to the next level. Now, joining us in the hot seat is Caroline Crawford. She's a seasoned marketing and communications expert with over 13 years of experience under her belt. Now, Caroline is the founder of Cultivate, a marketing consultancy on a mission to help business leaders navigate this ever-changing landscape of marketing with precision and purpose. In today's episode, Caroline spills the beans on a controversial yet compelling topic: cutting marketing efforts to achieve more. Now, we'll dive deep into this, into the importance of intentional and streamlined marketing, uncovering the pitfalls of scattered strategies, and unveiling the true value of organic marketing efforts. We explore the concept of focusing on what a company does best and eliminating kind of that excess effort to enhance engagement and generate leads. And we even dive into the misconceptions surrounding the value of marketing and the crucial role it plays in shaping business strategies. So let's get to it. Let's talk marketing. Caroline, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. Super stoked to have you on here. I'm excited about diving into like what I feel like is a controversial topic of cutting some marketing efforts to actually get more. But thank you. I'm so excited to have you on here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, before we do dive into this very juicy topic, I would love for the audience to get to know you a little bit. So let's get started with, if you could share with us what your first marketing role was, that would be great. And it doesn't have to have marketing in the title. This is the one that I always think is really interesting, what people would consider like their first marketing role.
I love that. My first marketing role, actually, it was related to marketing, and it was actually because the other one was related to restaurants. I don't think that was not for me.
So ironic that you say that. I literally interviewed someone that said a waiter, they considered being a waiter as their first kind of marketing role. Isn't that so interesting?
I can see that. I was a busser, so I wasn't speaking to anyone.
Okay, fair, fair, fair.
But my very first role, it ended up being social media internship. This was way back in college. And this was before social media was like a thing for marketing. It was like just as it was emerging. So very long time ago when Instagram was like very clunky and whatnot. So that was my very first role.
Nice. Now, what is your current role?
I am currently the founder of my own marketing consultancy, actually.
Very nice. And tell me, what is it that you love about what you do? But with the good, there's always the bad. I'm going to want to know what you would pluck out if you could pluck anything out of your job. But let's start with the positive. What do you love about what you currently do?
I love being contributing to the success of different businesses in different industries. From that very first job as a social media intern to now, I literally have never stopped in marketing. I've loved it. And what I love most about it is being able to bring a brand's voice to life and how that can look like in so many different ways. But what I hate about it is sometimes, because there's a lot, there's definitely some things that I do in the day-to-day that, you know, is just kind of tedious tasks, like templatizing. I hate templatizing things and getting down into the nitty-gritty of some stuff because I just love envisioning and understanding and to kind of synthesizing. That's my favorite part about it. But the bad part, a lot of the time, I work with a lot of clients, and this has also been in my entire career experience as well, of just misperceptions, if you will, of marketing. So So the hard part about my job some days is truly helping people really understand the value of marketing is. And the reason I hate that part, I love it, but I also hate it, is because when you're up against someone who isn't willing to understand it, it makes that job really difficult and challenging. And so I would say those two things.
I would agree 1,000%. And I would even add more. It makes your job, I guess I'll put it nicely, I'll package it up nicely, way more challenging, right? Like now your job is partly like executing what you said that you're going to execute that you know will work, or at least you're testing out, and also educating this person to fully understand how all of the things are connected. And I do think that there is this misconception of what marketing is and what marketing is not. I don't ever think that something's solved with, and anybody who works with me is just going to be like, she says this all the time, but you don't make a sale based on a flyer. You don't make a sale based on one post. Nobody across the board does that. There's so much nurturing that has to happen beforehand and moving them down the funnel. And I'm right there with you. I love that part. It's the strategy part. Where I am the weirdo is I like the templatizing. There's something about process that's very satisfying for me.
I love the processes, the actual physical templatizing. I'm like, that's when I'm like, oh my God, please let me toss this off.
Oh my God, I love it. Now, this will be an interesting one for you to answer because you started in social media. I'm really interested from a marketing perspective. We have to keep up to date on the trends. And a lot of times people are consuming content on social media networks to get that information. So I'm curious if you do this at all, if you leverage social media networks for inspiration or education or just entertainment. Or maybe it's just purely entertainment for you. Maybe you're completely off of it. But do you leverage any of the social networks for either of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm a consumer, right? And so where I draw inspiration from is just literally I walk out the door and pretty much anything that I see and I'm like, if something catches my eye, I really analyze, oh, what are they doing? Why is this catching my eye? Or why am I feeling connected to this? And so much of that happens on social media because you just don't get that as much when you're in person for places unless you're seeing direct ads. But with social media, even though you see the ads a lot more in our feeds and everything now, it feels a lot more organic and it shows up for us organically in many ways because we're just scrolling and all of a sudden there's an ad. Or influencer marketing is a perfect example, you know? And I think even if it's not directly tied to a business or sales, or someone trying to get your sale, I think just as a consumer, right, you're connected to something, you're following someone or something. And so social media is a goldmine for inspiration for that reason. Every time I'm on LinkedIn and someone has a thought that I align with or a perspective I align with, I'm like, okay, that's a really nice way to look at it. And so I look at the world for inspiration, but definitely social media is a huge tool I use for both inspiration and education as well.
I love that. And you mentioned LinkedIn specifically. Do you think that you go to LinkedIn more towards education or inspiration?
Both. I think it's different, right? Because marketing, at least for me, marketing is processed visually and intellectually, if you will. And so I like seeing the creative aspect. You look at brands who make really creative assets or videos on social media that works, that I see on Instagram. And I look at that and I analyze it and dissect it in my mind. But then on the flip side, what I love about LinkedIn in particular, and I spend more time there because it's more natural for me, is that it's just people sharing their thoughts in just their words. A lot of people are brain dumping. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But I love that it's different perspectives being shown around a topic. And that's why I love living on LinkedIn. And I'm much more active now than I was, especially a few years ago. But more and more, I find myself being more lit, like actually looking forward to checking it, having it be a natural thing. Whereas Instagram, ironically, I was always the last person personally to join a social media platform. Like when Facebook came out, the last person on it, MySpace, the last person on it. I was always the last one on it because I just live in the moment in many ways. So it's not natural for me to sit, create content, to sit and think of, oh, how can I turn this into content for myself? But with LinkedIn, it's easier for me because I'm always thinking about things through different angles. I'm always really going deep into about things. And I find it's such a more natural platform for me to be on because I'm not thinking about how is this going to look aesthetically. I'm like, let me just brain dump and go from there. And whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm still deciding, but that's how I do it.
Now, I love that. And I'm right there with you. I mean, I think I'm on all of the social platforms, but not from a personal perspective. And, you know, again, we're of the same mindset too, because I do also find inspiration from everything. And I think like from a creative perspective as well too, because if you're a consumer, there are certain things that are a little bit easier to understand of like, all right, this is how I would position something. But if you're doing B2B, it's interesting how companies position themselves like in this social network and what kind of content are they pushing out there from an ads perspective to really drive leads. And sometimes they just really do get me. I'm like, I really do want this piece of content. And the way that they structure it as well too. I'm a huge fan of LinkedIn and I definitely go for inspiration and education and sometimes entertainment because some people, they can be a little spicy nowadays, but it's got to be a good balance.
LinkedIn used to be, hey, I got a new job, say congrats, and that's it. And then now it is the not like, I wouldn't say non-visual because people still post videos and resources and photos and things like that, but it is not emphasizing the visual aspect as much. So you do get a lot of people talking about very personal things on there. But they do it in the context of work life a lot of the times, which everyone kind of experiences, which is why I find it so interesting because it's talking about something that I don't think other platforms touch on as much.
Yeah, I would agree. I think also oftentimes like the other platforms are almost like very behind the scenes and LinkedIn kind of dips in both worlds, but more on like the business side and a little bit of personal, which is really nice. Now, outside of social media networks, how are you staying up to date on the trends? Do you have Google alerts? Is there newsletters, podcasts? Like, how are you staying up to date on all of the trends?
I'm a chronic sign upper of all of the things that I see. If I see an ad that like looks it for something that looks interesting, I check it out. And then I'm like, I'm the perfect consumer for all ads because I'll just be like, okay, let's see. As long as a free trial, to be clear, but we'll always sign up for newsletters, check them out. And then I'll go through like a purge eventually to be like, okay, my inbox is cluttered depending on the type of newsletter. I refine it, but I'm just such a curious person, I think. And I will just sign up. If something catches my eye, I need to look into it. I need to see what are they doing? What are they talking about? Sometimes it's a very quick, okay, don't need any more from this. And sometimes I'm like, all right, I want to hear more what they have to say. So I'll sign up for a newsletter or I'll poke around the free trial because it's not just about trends for marketing, for instance, because there's so many newsletters out there. It's like overwhelming. And that's when I do the purge. I now have just a few that I keep up with. But I will say, I think the tech companies now are in MarTech companies, they are really great at ads. So they target me like crazy. And so I'm always signing up there because I like, because part of a good chunk of marketing is the operations of it, right? How can we streamline it all and keep things as efficient as possible? And so I love seeing new potential platforms that can do that. And so a lot of it outside of social media, it is a lot of signing up for things, a lot of free trials. And again, I walk the street. I like the branding of this, or I like their messaging, or I like this place is extremely popular, but I have no idea what the name is because they don't have any brand. And I'm dissected in a way that I feel like I can apply it to things that are not directly related to something. So it's, I'm B2B company, but I look at B2C for inspiration and see what can I mine their brand for inspiration that I can apply to mine in an organic way.
I love it. I would say you're a voyeur of life, trying to consume everything that's out there on top of not being afraid of signing up for things. Because to your point, you can always purge those out. And I think it's a great way to stay up to date on the trends, because it's almost like you're seeing everybody's work of staying up to date on the trends of like, all right, I'm picking this up. Like, I see this. I think this is also why, from a social media perspective, I also am such a scroller, right? Ooh, how did they do this? I am a big fan of like, different surveys to get you to sign up for things. Like, how many questions did they ask? How did they pose that? Were any of them open-ended? What happened afterwards? And to your point, it is that streamlining, which I think is probably a good segue for what we're talking about, which is cutting marketing efforts, which I can only assume has some streamlining built into that. So I'm ready to dive into this really hot take. You are an advocate for cutting just marketing efforts in half, or maybe less than that, I don't know, to increase just engagement and create and generate new leads. I'd love for you to just elaborate a little bit about that type of approach. What do you mean by that? What do you mean? I don't know why I was trying to make that longer. I want to know what you mean.
When I talk about it, people are like, wait a second. It's something that I don't think a lot of people talk about. But when you work with marketers, and you as a marketer, I'm sure do this naturally. But I think it started because I started to see a trend in that, I call it this triangle of chaos that happens within a marketing team. One that essentially it's chaos being caused by competing priorities, lack of clarity, and just general lack of direction. And what happens when the chaos is happening is everyone's just throwing everything at the wall, hoping it sticks. But with marketing and with stuff that works with marketing is not the reach that everyone's saying. The buzzword is expand your reach, broaden your audience awareness, brand awareness, whatever it is. And while, yes, that's always the goal, in terms of everyone wants sales, everyone wants to grow, like no matter what, no one's going to say, no, our goal is to actually not do that. We're going to go smaller.
I want to take a backseat to revenue. I would love to do this for free.
Just cut my revenue and spend more money. Yeah, exactly. And so what I started to realize was like everyone, or not everyone, I should say, but a lot of the people that I was starting to work with are coming to, and I experienced this so often in house, was it's chaos for a reason. That's because we're doing too much and we're all frustrated and it feels chaotic because it's not bringing in any results. So an example I have is that I had a workshop with this woman who was a coach in the health and wellness space, and she came to me defeated. And I work with a lot of clients because by the time they come to me, they're like, I'm so overwhelmed with marketing. I just don't know what else to do. They have analysis paralysis. They feel like they've done everything. And this woman fit that to a T. She had paid money for masterminds, masterclasses, all of these things, paid for strategies, all of the stuff, and nothing was working. And her business was just not getting anything from the efforts. And so she was on Twitter. She was on YouTube. She had articles published. She was doing a lot and she was one person. And her attitude again was she was just defeated. So I was like, what do you like doing? And she was like, I don't care what I like doing. Tell me what to do. And so I had to actually pause the workshop and say, you are here because you've listened to people and you haven't listened to yourself. And that's when I was like, I'm trying a new approach with you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. We're going to mine what you should be doing, unearth what you should be doing in many ways. And so I asked her again, what do you like doing? She's like, I love the articles that I write because she gets them published and it just feels natural for her. She loves it. I was like, great, stop everything else. She's like, what do you mean? Like she started to panic. And it's worth mentioning that the stuff she was doing on Twitter, again, at the time it was not called X, was automated posts of reposting articles that clearly were not her posting them, right? Her YouTube videos felt very forced. And then she was doing some other stuff that just, it clearly felt forced. But the articles, she put her thought and time and energy into. So I said, cut it all in half. And she was like, she could not wrap her head around it. It took her quite a while. And about a month later, to my surprise, because I thought she walked away being very frustrated. And I think she did. But about a month, because she was like, what did I just do? Like, you're telling me to stop everything. When I tell you, a month later, she came back and she, in a networking group that we were in, wrote a long post saying, it took me a long time to wrap my head around everything and truly digest it. And I'm still digesting it. But I cut my marketing efforts in half and I started seeing more engagement and I started seeing more results. And to me, that was such a relief, one, because I was like, I was just like, you need to focus on what you want to be doing. And the reason why I say cut everything, obviously, if things are working, maybe don't cut it, right? It's not an applicable piece of advice for everyone. But more often than not, especially in this day and age, we're dealing with shiny object syndrome. We've got things coming out of the woodwork. Like I said, I'm a chronic signer upper. So like, I'm going to check it out before everyone else does, because I know I'm going to get questions about it. I know I'm going to get people saying, hey, this person just said that they can increase my revenue by tomorrow or something. You know what I mean? There's a lot of BS tactics happening in the world. And you hear the term authenticity a lot. At this point, it's an overused strategy. Authenticity is not a strategy. It has to be genuine. And that genuine part comes from doing what feels natural to you in your company. Especially when you have limited resources, you need to focus on what you truly like to do and feels natural for you. And a lot of people are afraid to do that because they're so vulnerable to noise, and especially on social media saying, here's how to do this. Here's a tactic to do this. Get on this platform. TikTok's blowing up. Instagram, now videos, YouTube short, all of the things. How can you keep up with it? And so I live by the philosophy of less is more. And you really, in order for marketing to be so effective, it needs to be intentional. And then you build up from there. You have to, it's like a, I don't know what a good analogy is that doesn't sound disgusting, but you just have to stretch your capacity for marketing. It can't happen all at once. You have to do it little by little sometimes. If you're not, Nike has the resources to blast everywhere, to do things in a very different way. But you can take some parts and some essence of Nike and apply that to your business as long as you're intentional about it.
I couldn't agree more. And you were being really polite by saying this, but I'm going to say that marketing can be a real shit show without direction.
I didn't know if we could swear on this.
Yeah, listen, I'm a part-time truck driver, not really, but it really can be a shit show without direction and prioritization, which then leaves everybody in the organization itself, as well as like the outside owners, if you're not the owner of the company, right? It stretches everybody really thin and nobody's living up to 100% that they're capable of, where everybody's just working at 10%, 10%, 10%. And you can't make big moves in that way. I do think that some of what you're talking about almost leans into like account-based marketing, where the idea is to be strategic with what it is that you're doing. But I think like that's a balance for owners and presidents and CEOs and the whole nine yards, because they are like so holding on to the revenue. So this less is more.
It scares them.
It scares me too. Like I will say things out loud and I'll be like, ooh. That's also where imposter syndrome sometimes creeps in. Gosh, I hope I'm right. But like I've seen it happen time and time again. Would you say outside of like just kind of chaos and not being able to prioritize and stretching yourself really thin as a marketing org or marketing efforts, would you say those are the only kind of pitfalls that you consistently see? Or do you see other kind of pitfalls that companies or entrepreneurs continue to run into when it comes to marketing efforts and really trying to generate engagement and leads?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that people, the mindset of marketing and the value of marketing is, it's just wrong in so many ways. Actually, I was listening to your podcast and you said everyone has a little bit of marketer in them, which is true. Everyone has a thought, like everyone deserves to contribute, especially when you're building a brand, like you're passionate about that brand. We need that passion to help fuel the growth of this brand, right? However, and I'm going to use an example, I worked at a finance company, the least marketing people to ever exist. And the CEO thought he was a marketer because he saw and he would draw things. And I'm like, we can't use this. This is not what's going to work. Granted, I would take his feedback and I'd say, okay, I get what you're trying to accomplish. Let me build it in the marketing way. But here was my issue with that. And my boss and I would joke a lot of the time because we'd be like drawing again or whatever. And we would joke, but what the reason we had an issue with it was because I think so often people think of marketing in a way that's, hey, I have something that needs to be promoted, distributed on the channels, and that's it. That's all that needs to be done. And there's no to pull anyone off the street and they can do it. And that's what the CEO would do. He'd be like, oh, you guys keep begging for help. This friend of a friend's daughter can come in and help. And I'd be like, no, like
not the friend of the friend's daughter. The amount of times I've heard that also in my career, how come a friend always has a daughter that's aspiring for that?
Always. Perfectly fine person. I dealt with it so often. And it was one of the reasons why I started my own company, because I was like, there is a gap. And I could get into that later. But I think happens is, again, it's the mindset around marketing. If you give marketing a seat at your table, it can help you see your business strategy through a marketing lens. So I'm going to use even my own business as an example. I'm a one-person show. I do have one person who helps me with client-related stuff. And she just now expanded her to help me with social, only because I have a mental block around my own social media. It's a whole different thing. But I knew I wanted to do something for marketing, but I knew I was not going to be consistent. If you're not going to be consistent, don't do it. Because otherwise, what's the point? It's much harder to start it back up again. And so I really wasn't doing anything for a while. And I was like, I need to give me something that related to my core business and not necessarily related to sales, at least for me, but just needed to be something that I could use as a fuel for something. So in the case of that client I mentioned with the workshop, she leveraged her articles. For me, I have a podcast. I decided to start my podcast. I love it. And it's because I naturally can talk to people. I naturally network with people. I like to use it as a opening to do that. That then fuels the rest of it. And that fuels my social media. It can fuel an email list. It can fuel all these other things. And again, going back to that one client example, her articles can fuel so many other things. And granted, on the flip side, some people switch it and make social media the priority for their business strategy and versus a channel. Like I see social media as a channel for me, whereas other people can use it as a business strategy, which is absolutely great to do. But I think that's where you have to tinker. It's like, how can you look at what's going to be beneficial to the core business and brand? Not just, okay, we need to promote this and get it out and blast it out. Because if you do, you dilute the value of marketing. So I like to see things through the business, like marketing can truly help your business strategy if you look at it through a marketing lens. Like there are times I have a client where their business strategy or sales strategy is to reach out to one audience segment, but their brand marketing strategy is to reach out to another. And he was like, wait, why would you do that? And so I explained, and he was like, okay, that makes so much sense. And so now I'm like, and we could set up a whole different marketing sequence for that sales strategy, but you still have that brand strategy secured. So once you start seeing that and you truly see marketing as a partner, it can just do so much for you beyond, hey, you post this on my LinkedIn.
That's so true. I think it's really being intentional with the strategies you decide to execute and having a goal behind those strategies as well, too. I don't know if you experienced this, and it does sound like you do a bit, like people just going willy-nilly, let's do this, let's do that. And one of the things that you said just really resonated, and I think in a recent conversation that I've had, people talk about, they use the word campaign a lot. And I, when I say campaign, I think very differently. So a lot of things go back to semantics, right? And I remember having this conversation and I was like, tell me what you believe a campaign is. Like when you say campaign, how are you using that? And their thought was very like, it's a promotion. I'm like, I know where you're coming from. You're asking me for promos. And I don't think all of marketing is promotions. I don't think that you have to discount everything. I don't think that you have to give things for free. I think you have to show value and you have to position it. And you have to see, based on your audience, what's the right channel to be able to deliver this information, which I think really leans into the do less with, you can do less with more. You can do more with less. That's what I want to say. You can do less and get more. That did sound backwards. I felt very Willy Wonka there for a second. But like, I am just right there with you. You're speaking my language. And as for marketing having a seat at the table, I think what's so important and what you've done a great job of describing is like, not only marketing having a seat at the table, but marketing can translate what you're trying to achieve into, okay, if this is your drawing, what is it that you're trying to achieve with this drawing? Let me actually show you what that means here. And how we execute that. It's not always in like this delivery. I love being the interpreter of, hey, I have this idea. What is your ultimate goal? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to get out of this thing that you're asking me for? I can tell you like which tool in this toolbox we should use and how often we should use this and should we put money behind it? That's the other thing too. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on this because I think that a lot of times people want to throw money into marketing. And listen, I want a budget. I'm not saying cut my budget. If my boss is listening, I'm not saying that.
Give her more budget.
But I do think that there is a low-hanging fruit, organic, what can I do for free? Then what can I do for the next level? Then what can I do for that? And oftentimes I'll approach people, or not I'll approach people, people will approach me and they'll be like, let's just run an ad. And that's going to somehow generate bottom of funnel. Run an ad and we'll get bottom of funnel results. Why on earth would that work?
I have a lot of people who in my career have done that. And when I actually, especially the finance guys were like famous for this, and I would challenge them and to the point to where they just would walk away because I'd piss them off, I'm sure. But they'd be like, we need to run an ad. I'm like, okay, for what? And then they'd be like, we just need more, whatever their vanity metric was. And I was like, what's your plan with these new people you're hoping to get? They didn't have an answer. And I was like, come back when you have an answer. And they wouldn't come back. Then a few months later, they would come back. We need to run an ad. And it would be the same conversation over and over. And then even not long ago, I was working with a client and she was like, oh, this social media profile offered for $5,000. They'll post about us once. I'm like, if you have $5,000, I have other ways that you can use that $5,000. And the reason why I actually have such a hard relationship with advertising, because it can be such an incredible tool, but the world has made it so accessible that you go on Facebook ads, start advertising for $1 a day. Next thing you know, it's $800 a month. Like the amount of conversations I've had with people saying, oh yeah, I've been running some Google ads and it's been out $800-900 a month. I haven't really gotten much in it. Why are you running the ads then? That means there's a disconnect happening. This is what I mean with stop marketing. If it's something that is especially costing you money and it's not getting you results, just stop. There's no maybe try it out, stop altogether. Because you can, that is the beauty of how accessible it is. You can also stop it at any time. So stop it and then think back, okay, advertising, the platform alone is meant to be an amplifier. It is not meant to be the baseline. So I think people start with advertising because it feels like a shortcut. But in reality, it's a very expensive, long way to go. And it's advertised as though it isn't. And that's my huge issue with the marketing industry. I'm a huge marketing nerd. I absolutely am obsessed with it, can literally talk about it all day long, but it drives me nuts. This deception that kind of happens, and a lot of it stems from advertising. A lot of it stems from, oh, what do I do? And so I think if you are looking at investing in a marketing, make sure one, exactly what you're looking for. make sure you have a very clear like KPI in mind. So what is your goal? What are you really hoping? Even if you don't know how you're going to achieve it, what are you hoping for? And it can't be just sales, because always that's the goal and that doesn't actually help drill down. It has to be a little bit beyond it. But if you can't spend any money, that's okay. And that is the beauty, I think, of social media, for instance, because you can, if you're comfortable with it, just hop on a video and just start posting every day. Or my podcast didn't cost me a penny to start. It actually still doesn't cost me a penny. Like, I just do it myself. And I've paid people to do it. At one point, I was like, I don't need to, just to allocate funds elsewhere. So it's like, what can you do easily? And that's what I mean. Like, I'm a perfectionist and I'll sit on something, the idea of something, until I'm like, okay, it's all perfect or whatever. And then I realize I'm like, okay, wait, no, I need to get this going. And so if you're like, I love writing articles, for instance, but I feel like I need to have all of these things prepared, you don't. It's okay that it's not perfect. As you boost more, you can always perfect it more. And so I think for the people who are looking to start marketing, but they just don't know where to start, just focus on what is the number one priority for you and what is the easiest thing for you to start and feels most natural. And then it can snowball from there. And like I said, you're stretching your marketing capacity. And so you have to start small.
Preach. Truly, the journey starts with one step. And not to sound hokey when I say that, but it is absolutely true. It starts with one thing. And I think what's ironic about getting started and also balancing this perfectionism is inevitably, once something is out there in the wild, no matter how much you've thought it through, it is amazing what tweaks happen once it's out there in the wild. So maybe that 100% should be 70, 80, and then, you know, you burn your calories in that 20, 30 of like refining it, making it better, being able to pivot a little bit more as well too.
That's such great advice.
Yeah, that's both the art and the science of marketing as well too. And I am also a marketing nerd. Clearly, I have a marketing podcast. I did not realize how over time we went. I could talk to you forever. I don't know how it took us so long to find each other.
But I'm glad we did.
I know, we're birds of the same feather. I mean, the things that you're passionate about, I too am passionate about that as well too, which I think could be a whole other podcast. But I have one final question for you before I do let you go. If you knew then what you know now, what is the marketing advice that you give to yourself?
The marketing advice, I would say everyone is going to get it. And sometimes you need to consider what they're saying in that feedback. And sometimes you need to ignore it. And most importantly with marketing, you just have to use discernment. Don't just question things, question people. Don't just take advice from someone and not actually infuse your own personal touch into it. There is no template 100 that's going to work 100% for everyone. And so you have to use that discernment and you have to question the advice that you're receiving, because you don't know what they know that you don't know. And I just think that's something that I just thought everyone at the beginning, I just had no idea what I was doing. And granted, in many ways, I had the ability, because just of the shit show of what was happening inside the companies, I had to learn as I go and didn't have a heavy hand of someone being like, this is how you do it. But a young 20-something girl in a male-dominated finance company, and I'd be going, why are you doing these ads? I'd work with agencies because I was in-house and sometimes managing an agency. And I'd even start questioning the agency, be like, why are you doing this? And then I'll never forget that agency was there to present their results of these stupid ads that I was questioning along the way. We're all in a boardroom with 15 department heads. And one of the department heads asked a question about one of the metrics means, and the account manager turned to me and said, Caroline, can you explain that? This is your report. What? So I just think that marketers are really good at marketing. And so ask them questions. Just use discernment. No one can promise you everything. Just use discernment is the best advice I can give.
I love that. I think that's a great bit of advice, a learned lesson, the discernment question. Understand that marketers do market, and don't be afraid to double click into what they're trying to sell you, because we're real good at what it is that we do.
Thank you for synthesizing that so beautifully.
It's the job. I cannot thank you enough. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I believe the listeners are taking these knowledge bombs and running with them. Thank you again so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Well, I'm sure that you could have picked up from this episode that I could have talked hours with Caroline. We are definitely birds of the same feather. I'm going to dive right into the key takeaways because I got a lot to say today, apparently. Now, the first key takeaway, streamlining for success. This is at the heart of like what the initial episode topic intended to really go into, right? Which was cutting back marketing to get more. Now, in this kind of fast-paced business, we're always pushing for marketing to go fast and do more, but less can often be more. Caroline highlighted the importance of streamlining marketing efforts to focus on what truly matters. By eliminating this excess fat as far as tasks, that's what I mean. When I say removing the excess fat, it's removing those tasks that aren't really needed and honing in on what a company does best. Businesses can enhance engagement, generate leads, and achieve great success in their marketing efforts. It's about quality over quantity, and sometimes simplifying your approach can yield the most significant results. Imagine this. Instead of spreading resources thin across multiple social media platforms, for example, focus on mastering one or two platforms where your audience is most engaged. By trimming that excess and concentrating on what resonates most with your audience, and by trimming that excess, I mean like not being on, 12 different social media platforms, what ends up happening when you do trim down on that is that your content resonates with your audience. Businesses can amplify their impact. They can drive engagement and achieve remarkable results in their marketing efforts. It's all about working smarter, not harder, and finding kind of that sweet spot where quality meets efficiency. Key takeaway number two, rethinking the value of marketing. Marketing isn't just about promoting products or services. It is a strategic partner that can really shape business strategies and drive growth. Now, she emphasized the need to challenge these misconceptions about the value of marketing and educate others on this pivotal role in shaping the direction of a business. Also, marketing isn't a one-time effort. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Consistency over time is key to building brand awareness, establishing trust, and ultimately driving conversions, right? And conversions, revenue, that's what all businesses are interested in. Whether you're in B2B, B2C, or the D2C space, successful marketing really requires multiple touch points to guide prospects through the customer journey and nurture them towards that conversion. Now, everyone is bombarded with endless options and distractions. It's essential to stay top of mind. That means maintaining a consistent presence across various channels and delivering valuable content that resonates with your target audience. By integrating marketing into business conversations and decision-making processes, organizations can really leverage its power to drive leads down the funnel and fuel revenue growth. Marketing isn't just a department, it is a strategic partnership. And key takeaway number three, authenticity drives engagement. The importance of authenticity in marketing efforts, emphasizing that genuine connections and transparent communication are key to driving engagement and building trust with all of your audiences. Authenticity really just kind of continues to emerge as kind of this recurring thing in every interview. And that's for a good reason. While some may dismiss it as a buzzword, its persistence relevance highlights its undeniable significance. Authenticity isn't just a marketing tactic. It's a fundamental aspect of who you are as a person and as a business. I think of authenticity as kind of that secret sauce that elevates your marketing efforts. Just like in cooking, where like the best dishes often rely on simple, high-quality ingredients, authentic marketing focuses on the most meaningful aspects of your brand and approaches them with genuine solutions. It's about stripping away the fluff and getting down to what truly matters, delivering messages that resonate deeply with your audience. Now, authenticity is like the warm, comforting aroma of the sort of freshly baked cookies wafting through the air. It draws people in, evoking this kind of sense of trust and connection. In a sea of artificial flavors and empty promises, authenticity stands out, guiding customers to your doorstep and really fostering those long-lasting relationships. By staying true to your brand identity and embracing authenticity in your marketing efforts, you can create meaningful connections with your audience, stand out in a crowded marketplace, and leave lasting impressions that keep customers coming back for more. Now, with all those food analogies, I am hungry. So on that note, what were your key takeaways? Share them with me on LinkedIn. Drop them in a review on Apple. I want to hear them. A special thank you to my podcast producers, the amazing team at Content Allies, and thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.